You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 8:07 in the morning. You are on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 KVY The Voice. If you want to get in on a conversation, 790-2040. One of our, there's a teacher that also, he's our guy who dresses up as a, his name is Andrew. He's one of our guys who, he's the guy who told the great story about how he fell asleep in The Last Jedi dressed as a X-Wing pilot, also an ex-TUSD teacher. Andrew, we're going to be talking about some of the stuff you emailed me about, so if you want to call in with any of your horror stories, we'd love to have you in a little bit. And remember, we're doing a live remote at Biosphere 2 tomorrow. Please stop by. Listen
inside
to the show.
Inside the Biosphere 2.
They're going to trap me in there.
Yes.
And we're going to do a fundraiser for Sister Jose that if you guys raise $10,000, they lock me in there for the next week. So in a small room with Chuck Huckleberry posters all over the place. It's really amazing. But anyway, please join us. They're going to offer an amazing rate. They're going to offer anyone who says you want the you would like the Wake Up Tucson rate, okay? They're going to give you the student U of A student rate of $11, which is a heck of that's $10 off.
That's a big deal.
So please join us. I'll be on the 9 o'clock tour. Try to get there. As Ed said, get to the gate by 8:30. By the time they get you in and you drive through past all the robots that try to kill you up there. And I'm just kidding about that part. Please join us tomorrow. We're totally looking forward to it. And then Ryan from Eagle Force Security is going to be with the Pistoleros at Trail Dust Town tomorrow night. And he's going to get shot and thrown off a building or something like that. So, speaking of getting shot and thrown off a building, let's go over to TUSD right now. We have three amazing guests today. A guy who's going to be with us for the whole hour is Eastside Tom. Tom, good morning, sir.
Morning. How are you?
Not too bad. And you work for TUSD for how long?
30 years.
30 years, and you just recently retired.
Recently retired, correct.
So, and you are also the creator of Pliskin Acres shirts.
Yes, I was lucky enough to get in on St. Patrick's Day and coined the term and sort of took ownership of it.
Good
and,
for you.
Shirts, hats, you know, it's time to own the brand.
So if someone wants a Pliskin Acres shirt right now, what do they do?
We're going to meet with the printer.
Okay.
And figure that out.
Okay.
But he's very agreeable to,
all right,
to having them available and people can walk in and get
I would
them
love a Pliskin Acres hat personally. That would be amazing.
He can do hats. Yep. He can do hats.
Just to compliment the Grant and Alvernon shirts that Tucson Foodie's doing right now would be beautiful. And now I have two current frontline employees at TUSD. My good buddy Lawrence. Lawrence, good morning, sir.
Morning, Chris. How you doing?
And then Mace Braven. You guys are been teaching together at a certain middle school for how many years together now?
Wow. I think we've been teaching together for 9 years.
Nine years. You carpool together. You look the same.
Oh, that's awesome. Mistaken for each other all the time.
Shaven bald heads, glasses, yeah. Chiseled chins, and look like, you know, shaved bald Kirk Douglases. That's what I say. So.
Well, you know, the one thing is when we're in PD, professional development.
Yes.
And any other meeting, it's funny when administrator will look at you, will look at Mace and call him Mr. Brady, or look at me and call me Raven.
Yep.
But the best, the killer is when they send teachers to the wrong room. No, not teachers, parents.
Parents or students.
Or students to the wrong room. Or they send my math emails to Mr. Braven, and then they wonder, hey, did you read that email, Brady? I'm like, what email? Then I'll see him at the end of the day. He's like, oh, hey, I got an email from you.
It doesn't help also that both your last names start with a B-R-A.
No, that's...
Oh, right. For years over at Tucson High, there was another teacher there that, you know, I'm Hall, he's Hill. And constantly mistaken, and it, with the exception of, you know, he's like a 6'6" black guy, you know, 30 years old and stuff, but yet the same thing I would get, you know, why didn't you talk to this parent? Why didn't you talk to this student?
You're dropping the ball, Hall.
Exactly.
So Mace and Lawrence, because we want to, you know, continue your employment at in TUSD, you're here for one specific purpose. It just happened that we're all here today, but you guys are here to have a ask and plea to the public. What do you guys need from our listeners?
Well, there's a lot of things we can use. Most people don't realize this, but teachers only get about $100 to order supplies for a school year, and on that much money, we're not going to be able to get a lot of supplies for our students. 27 years ago when I started, we used to get $200. So we're actually here. We're in the largest middle school in TUSD. We serve about 1,000 students. We have close to 50 educators there. And it gets real hard to stretch $100 for the whole year to buy supplies.
When did they cut your supply money? What year was that?
Oh, about 12, 13 years ago.
I'll bring that up later on why that's important, but keep going. So what do you guys need? Give me the priority list.
Well, for me, the biggest priorities are just pencils and paper to start.
I love the fact that we need pencils and paper.
God, I always run out of pencils. In fact, last year, a gas station that was going out of business gave me all of their golf pencils they had for the Arizona Lottery. The Arizona Lottery actually helped me at one point last year.
What are we doing with these pencils?
Using them in my classroom for writing.
Now, Tom, you're nodding your head as this guy's talking about clearing out the local gas station. Why?
Oh, because that's what teachers have to do. I mean, for copy paper, there was none. I would go to the copy room and I would ask the clerk there if they had any paper that was misprinted or anything on one side.
Sure.
And then, you know, I'd bring an empty box with me and they'd load up basically throwaway paper that, you know, but as long as it had one side that was still clear, and the crack up would be, you know, I would give a test on an English story, and it would be printed on like a math paper, and kids would do the quiz, and then they'd raise their hand and say, you know, Mister, I don't know how to do quadratic equations. And I would tell them, well, neither do I. So, you know, just ignore that. But the idea that even for printing tests and things like that, you know, I had to, you know, I recycled paper for years. I mean, by the box loads.
So a bunch of you, first of all, you can buy the copy paper. But at the same time, we've all been in that company that has those misprints or whatever, and everyone's throwing their one-sided piece of paper into the actual garbage can itself, where you should be throwing it back into one of your empty boxes and say, hey, can I get this to a school teacher? Would probably be the best way. So, Lawrence, what do you need? You're my math science guy.
You know, in my math department, the huge thing again is copy paper. I have a colleague who does the same thing as Eastside Tom was saying. She will take our math adoption that was before printed and one-sided on paper, and she would just recycle that to do all her copies on it. That's a big thing. And pencils are huge. I went through, I think, in 1 month, you know, 288 pencils, and just having them out there for kids to use, and it's just easy. The other thing is really, in particular in my classroom, math classrooms, you know, our composition books. You know, the English teachers want the narrow lined, you know, the college ruled. Yeah, math department, we're a little more casual and relaxed. We like the wide ruled. You can make your numbers big.
So you're talking about the black and white marbled comp books?
Yes.
Okay.
And they come in checkered patterns now. I didn't know if you knew they can get some paisleys, different colors and all that. You don't have to get like the Captain Marvel ones. Let the kids do that. But those are really big ones. You know, and again, lined notebook paper. And really, a lot of teachers have copy paper. The only, you know, should we mention about the laminating machine? Oh my gosh.
Go for it.
Anybody in TUSD listening? Hello, hello. So here we have, you know, everybody has allotted a certain amount of laminating. So one teacher, it was a science teacher, right? It was one science teacher wanted to laminate these worksheets, right? So they could just use them over and over and over again in class. Kids could use a dry erase marker or whatever on the paper, just do it over and over again. She walked in there and I said, well, you've used your entire laminating quota. And I said, well, I'm not going to laminate anything this year. It doesn't look like I'm going to need to. I have everything printed for me. I don't need it. So I said, you can tell me you can use Brady's allotment. Oh, no, we can't do that. I mean, actually, and I'm just like thinking, really, a roll of laminating? So if anybody wants to really be generous, donate a roll of laminating material, because one of our teachers, one of our dual language teachers. She actually went out and bought her own because she laminates just about everything. I mean, I have you seen any students of her students? I think sometimes they're laminated also. But I mean, over again, but I mean,
so here's the question for you before I let you guys go is where are they going to drop this stuff off?
Well,
because if I drop it off here, Alicia at the front desk will actually come murder me with a plastic knife. So
she will.
Yeah.
I will call. I will while you're interviewing Tom, I'll come from verify this with Bob at the Villas.
Oh, okay.
He said to me last Friday, so I should have had you on for the last 5 minutes to talk about it because, you know, my mom is there. We went by and said hi.
Right.
So he's offered his place, you know, and you would want to go to the business office there.
Right.
Because that's the only way you can publicly ask us anything.
So right now what I want you to do is email me at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. The boys will come pick it up if they have to, which they will.
Right.
They'll be happy to do it.
Yes.
And so please, you can do that. Start off with that. wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. If you can donate pencils, copy paper, more pencils, composition books, notebook paper, and a roll of laminating material.
Tissues are also always a valuable thing for us.
Tissues?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
By the end of the year, we're stealing toilet paper out of the restroom and using them in our classes instead of getting boxes of tissues.
Okay, custodians,
you guys are so
remember
spoiled.
That's Mr. Braven doing that, not Mr. Brady, all right?
Yes, that was Brady doing that.
No, so, Brady's not doing
all
that.
All right, so right now, please email me at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. If you can donate pencils, copy paper, composition books, notebook paper, laminating material, or facial tissue. All those extravagant things, you know, those luxuries.
And if you want to dare come on to our side of town to the school, we're at 4400 West Irvington, and you could drop it off and say it's for Braven and Brady, and we'll make sure that we share it with all the other teachers there.
The other thing we can do, too, if you have a business, a restaurant, a coffee shop or something, and you're listening and you'd like to be a collection point for these TUSD teachers, please either call Ed right now, 790-2040, or email us or hit me through Facebook. And we'll make sure that we'll give your business a little love, that you're a collection point for local teachers. All right?
And I have a couple boxes in the truck we could drop off at their place.
Okay, awesome. Lawrence, okay. You the man. Mace, you the man. Keep doing what you're doing. When's first day of school?
August 1st.
Okay. We'll enjoy your...
Looking forward to it.
Enjoy Hopefully, your last couple of weeks.
Thank you.
I plan to.
All right. Well, anyway... Let's say if you're a business and you want to be a collection point for TUSD teachers, please let us know. Maybe we'll talk to Rocco. He's in a perfect spot right there too. So you can get a wing and donate something at the same time. So let's go visit some sponsors. Lawrence and Mace, thanks for your service, as we like to say.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you,
Tucson.
And keep me updated. 8:19 in the morning, Eastside Tom and I are going to go into the dark belly of the beast called TUSD. Teacher Andrew's already on the call. Also, he's going to join us. If you're a TUSD teacher with some horror stories, please call us at 790-2040 is the phone number. Welcome to the dark side, kids. All right, 8:24 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Remember, we'll try to find out some central locations for the boys for some of their stuff for collecting supplies. They need crazy things like pencil and paper.
Jeez.
Eastside Tom's here. He just retired.
TUSD.
30 years being a TUSD school teacher. Andrew, I'll get to you in just a little bit, I promise. Teacher Andrew's also here. But let's start off real quick. What did you teach in TUSD? What were your subjects?
You know, over the 30 years, I did quite a lot of different things. I started out in 1989 working in the Title I in what was called the Neglected and Delinquent program.
Wow.
And
the opposite of the Gifted and Talented program?
Yes, the opposite of that. And but I was very fortunate. I was assigned to be the literacy specialist, is what we were called out at the used to be the Arizona Children's Home.
Okay.
The residential program used to be the state orphanage. Great school, great program. Met a lot of great people that I'm, you know, still in touch with today. Unfortunately, they started cutting back. This is back during the Clinton years, where they started making this inroads into education, where they wanted teachers and things to be less professional and more paraprofessional.
Explain the difference.
A paraprofessional is somebody that's not a certified teacher, doesn't have 4 years of college or more in a certain area. A paraprofessional is somebody that basically can do
like a paralegal
like
to
like a teacher's
like
aid.
A paralegal to illegal
I,
to
I
a
was
lawyer.
Just thinking that right you know like a teacher's aid so they did away with the resource teacher. So I landed at Townsend Middle School at the time as an in-house suspension teacher, and I did that for 2 years. Going into the third year, I told the principal I just couldn't do it anymore. It was just ridiculous. It was just glorified babysitting drugs and thugs. And he refused to give me an assignment for the next year. I had a contract. I just didn't have an assignment. But that was the year that the district had the big buyout. Anybody with 12 years experience, they'd throw you a couple extra bucks and encourage you to leave. And so many people left that there were all kinds of openings. And so I applied for a drama teacher position at a middle school on the east side, and I got it. And I went over there, and I became the fine arts chairman for the school, and I did that for 9 years. But now we're getting into the era of AIMS,
right?
And because AIMS scores were so horrible, they started doing away with the electives, drama, dance,
sure,
thing, and putting in more AIMS. And my principal at the time that was over there, he was all about it's all about AIMS. It's all about AIMS. So they basically cut the fine arts programs down to nothing, and I was what they call RIFT, reduction in force. And again, though, I was very fortunate. I ended up at Hauenstein High Magnet School, which was the district's high school for special needs kids.
Okay, and this name just came up with the school because this is the one they were talking
about,
one of the empty ones that they were going to put the asylum seekers in over on Tucson Boulevard. But just
and that would be just another slap in the face to the to the saga that is Hauenstein. And Hauenstein was the whole time I was there. Hauenstein was basically jerked around and eventually closed. And again, I was RIFT. This time, though, they called it DIT, District Initiated Transfer.
I love the acronyms.
Yeah, they're great. I was given a choice of going to either Carson Middle School or Tucson High. And it was kind of thing like school started the next day and this was noon and I was standing in the HR office and they said, well, you got to tell us now because these are the only two jobs that, you know, we can offer you. So I didn't really want to go back to middle school at that time. So I said, well, I'll take the Tucson High job.
Okay.
And I went over there and, I started my first day at the school was the first day for the students and things. And it was an eye-opener, going from a high school, a magnet high school of, 150 to 200 kids to a school of, between 3,000 and 4,000 kids. I spent my last 7 years over at Tucson High, and when it came time to decide what I wanted to do, my wife and I are both in an age where we're looking at, that next part of our, our golden years, if you will, to decide. I decided one day that not happy with what was going on, and I had the option to leave and have a full retirement, and I've been frugal and things my whole life. So it was like, my wife said, let's do it. So I put in my retirement papers and been having a great time ever since.
All right, let's go to break, 8:30 in the morning. Eastside Tom and Alexander, Christy, Simone, Andrew, stay there. I'll get to you, I promise. And there's a lot of meat on this bone. So we only have two more segments to go. So you're gonna have to come back one day, just to warn you.
Would love to.
Awesome. All right, Eastside Tom, Christy, Simone, you're on Wake Up Tucson. Mr. Ramsey coming up top of the hour. Zach Yenser, Billy Buckmaster. Wake Up Tucson, 1030 KVOI. Local news and talk. There she is. Happy birthday to Linda Ronstadt. check out the DeSimoneHQ.com webpage, go to radio, hit the YouTube link, and you can find my full one-hour interview with Ms. Ronstadt. And it was prior to her show at the Fox that she did, where she did a kind of more of a Q&A and talk about her career. And she did a great job. So we're hanging out with Eastside Tom. As we like to say, when you're a teacher at TUSD for 30 years, we call him one of the nicest masochists in all of the community. Let's bring in another masochist, Teacher Andrew, on line two. Andrew, thanks for the patience. I appreciate it, sir. How are you?
I'm well. How are you all doing?
Not too bad. What subject did you teach in TUSD?
I taught music and band. And I taught in a very short time I was spent in TUSD in several different schools, believe it or not. I taught every grade from kindergarten all the way through high school, and which is what you tend to do when you're a music teacher. And I was so discouraged that after a few years, I actually left the profession for a while. It was so bad. It was several years before I got the confidence and the bravery to come back to what I was trained to until I ended up, long story short, on the South Side, and I currently teach at the only A-plus school on the South Side, and I have just never been happier than ever. And coming from where I came from, I call myself a refugee. Being a refugee from TUSD, I appreciate so much more what the gift that I have of where I'm at.
Well, you were really a TUSD asylum seeker. Let's get the terminology correct.
Yes.
So let me ask you a question. Tell Tom and I and the audience, what were one or two of the top things that not only drove you out of TUSD, but also you left teaching for 2 years? What were a couple of things that were going on in TUSD that were driving you insane?
Well, let's preface this with, wherever there are people, there are no perfect districts, there are no perfect administrators,
True.
There are no perfect teachers, including myself. However, right away when I was hired at one of the big high schools to be the band director. And I'll tell you what, it's a bad sign when you discover that you are the ninth band director in 11 years.
Oh, turnaround's all amazing.
Right? So that's not the teacher's fault right there. So everything was already against me. And I was a first-year teacher. That's when you need the most help, when you are going to mess everything up the most. Basically, they gave me a key and said, here's your room, see ya. I had no support, and it went downhill from there. I started finding that anything I had going, any request I had for help was, every blockage was being put up, and I learned after the school year was over, when I was on medical leave, I got so sick from this. It was so awful. I discovered this principal, who started giving me the cold shoulder, was spending every Thursday having lunch with two students who hated my guts, so they could talk about how horrible I was, instead of trying to help a first-year teacher. This is where they chose to put their energy. I was shocked. It's like, this is supposed to, how unprofessional can you get? You know, when a person needs their help the most, when they're starting out, and they're just having a good old gripe fest about how horrible this guy is, and not even telling me.
What was your number? Give me a number two.
Number two, I was at a middle school. And we were told, we were ordered for our winter concert. Remember, you can't use the dreaded C word.
Christmas.
No. And now check this out. Now, middle school band concerts for Christmas stuff, they don't play Joy to the World and things like that. There's no lyrics. They just, it's something that sounds bandy. It sounds, you know, maybe they put some bells in there. It sounds almost seasonal, whatever. You know, it's as secular as you can get. We were ordered to, on the programs, remove the C word from the titles of the songs that had them. For instance, the Merry Bells of Christmas became the Merry Bells of Winter. We were ordered to rename everything. And now I'm not making this part up. I had an Orthodox Jewish girl. Her father had the braids and the hats and just the nicest family you can imagine. She's the one who raised her hand and says, why are we doing this? Now, meanwhile, down the hall is a whole section of Kwanzaa displays. So one is forbidden under orders, and yet the other one's okay. And, you know, this is just the beginning of the list. I mean, it was, I think the word that comes to mind is oppressive.
And what's so funny for a school that says they're the champion of Hispanic kids, where 100% of 99.9% of Hispanic kids are celebrating Christmas, we're going to obliterate that part of their culture.
And you know what? Exactly, because when I got to the South Side, okay, and my first year down there, I had an entire first grade class wish me a Merry Christmas, and I choked up in tears just because of the background I had. I mean, just the beauty of it and the beauty of the children. I fell in love right away, partially because of from where I was coming from. It's one thing if you're going to have a bad administrator or whatever. I mean, everybody's going to have that. But it was a pattern everywhere I went from one place to another. I mean, just the entire department, the entire leader at administration was vindictive and would withhold funds from if anybody got in an argument with her, withhold funds from a school. It was a pattern that was just, it's like, how can this happen?
Now,
Tom is
nodding his head as you're talking about people, administrators withholding funds because of whatever. So, Tom, what can you share about this, sir?
Well, first of all, I'm glad to hear that, as a first-year teacher, you got a key to a room because most of the first-year teachers I get don't get a room. They get to share, you know, a closet with somebody or two or three other teachers. And, the high school I was recently at, teachers, a lot of teachers didn't have keys. If you needed to get into a room, you had to have a kid, ask a kid to get into the room for you to get the door open. So that was a plus for you.
How did the kid get in the room if you didn't have the key?
One day I told we were going out for a fire drill, and I said, leave everything here. It's just a drill. I'm going to lock the door. Nobody will come in. I'm the only one with a key. And a kid in the back of the room says, well, I got a key. I said, what are you talking about? He says, well, I got a key to all the buildings on this side of campus. And so I kind of let it pass. It wasn't, but later that afternoon, I emailed the assistant principal, and I said, I had a kid that says he's got keys to some of the buildings, and I have to kind of take him seriously. And so I reported it, but never heard back. Nothing was ever done. And then it's the kind of thing that, teachers don't have keys, but doors always seem to be open.
Right.
How about the
teacher Andrews talking about some of the vindictive behavior of people above you in the thing? I assume you...
Oh, definitely. I've experienced that at many different levels at different schools. My first couple of days at Howenstein, I was having a little bit of trouble with a couple of kids. They love to accuse everybody of being racist and everybody of being a bigot and everybody, you can't say that. And so I went in to talk to the principal, and basically the principal was, do you not like teaching? Why are you a teacher if you don't like teaching? And I said, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, I just want some clarification since I'm new. And from that point on, my relationship with the administration was very poor because, they were not supportive. I remember sitting one time in a PD at a middle school, and they brought in legal representatives from the legal department to tell teachers what your legal obligations are. And somebody asked a question about, well, what if a teacher is accused of this or that or whatever? And their response was, well, as the legal department of TUSD, we will investigate you, but we will not defend you.
Well, there's a lot of confidence right there.
But yeah, in schools where you have to, and being, Andrew being a band person and stuff, when I did fine arts, that was the thing was, you need additional support because you do a lot of extracurricular things in that. And if the administration does not want to support it, and I've had administrators that don't want to support you because they don't feel that your program is necessary or valuable, or it's just drama or it's just art. They will make it virtually, that you have to jump through so many hoops to even get a purchase order approved or to take kids on a field trip.
Yeah.
That eventually it just becomes, it's not worth it.
Andrew, thanks for the call in as always. We'll do this again one day. We'll have you call in again. I'll give you a heads up on it. But thanks for your service and enjoy the rest of your summer. Okay, sir?
Appreciate it. Thanks to both of you guys for all you do. Take care.
Thank you, Andrew. Teacher Andrew. When we come back, Eastside, Tom and I will do one more segment talking about, let's be really nice, the challenges that are going on in TUSD, not just now, but for the last so many decades. we'll definitely have Eastside Tommy. We'll have to look at your future work schedule and get you to come on a day off. So
sounds good.
We'll figure it out. Eastside Tom, Ed Alexander. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
The infamous Artist Pile on drums with Skynyrd.
Look at that. One more segment with Eastside Tom, 30 years a teacher in TUSD, starting a new gig next week outside of the public school system. And let's do this. So let's talk about discipline. This keeps coming up. So if you were going to say your last year in school last year, in relation to the discipline being a problem, okay? So 10, everything's really nice and perfect and everyone's behaving, to and discipline's being handled correctly, to 0, which is mild, well, chaos. Where do you think you were at last year before you left Tucson High?
Can't use a negative number, huh?
Nope.
I'd go with a 1.5 to 2.
Yikes. What made up that very low score? Why? Well,
first of all, I mean, the elephant in the room for years has always been just the lack of any kind of discipline or enforcement. I have people come up to me at church or, you know, at restaurants that I know, and they'll say, hey, I heard something on the news or whatever. You know, that can't be true. And it's like, oh, yeah, it is. It is. I mean, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. If you really knew what went on day to day. Part of it is it starts with just simple things like tardiness. At the high school I was at, first morning classes, kids would walk in, not, you know, not like 20 seconds after the bell rang, 20 minutes after the bell rang, or just plain absentee. My morning classes, and these are juniors and seniors. These are kids that are, you know, you would think that they get it. I mean, you know, they're going to graduate in a year or two. My morning classes, my first period classes, they would run anywhere from 50 to 60% absentee.
Hold. Say that one more time.
50 to 60% absentee. And again, how can you teach somebody that's not there? So there was that. And, you know, you would ask, you do make the phone calls and you'd make the entries on the computer and all this stuff. But it's like, you know, the robocalls would go out. Isn't there somebody in like the attendance office or the registrar's office that's got a list of this kid's been, you know, absent? So, you know, you have kids that are absent 45 times in a semester. And they can't figure out why, you know, well, why do you want to fail this child? Well, because he missed half the classes.
Right.
He missed half the work. And it's like, and even though there's state law that says if you miss more than 10 classes, you can't get credit, there's always a loophole. Like, well, we forgot to print that in the handbook, so we can't enforce it if we didn't print it. And it's like, okay. But, you know, that's...
You don't understand the family hardship, Tom. That's why...
I know.
I'm sure that came up a bunch.
It's when these kids come in 20 minutes late and they got their cup from Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts and things. And it's like, you know, I know you had a long wait at the Starbucks drive-thru this morning that kept you from getting here on time. But just, and you know, and those are sort of like the, you know, the victimless kind of thing.
Yeah, that's where it starts.
But that's where it starts. There's no enforcement to that. Vandalism. I had a classroom with nice Formica top tables, and I always kept a bottle of Windex and a roll of paper towels because, you know, students would want to express their artwork on the tops of the tables. And if it was, you know, mural quality artwork or whatever, and I've been involved in a few mural projects over my time, you know, you'd leave it on there. But usually it's stuff that you don't want, you know, anybody to see. The language that's used amongst, you know, student to student, groups to groups, males to females, and especially to staff is just so ignorant at times and just so foul. And yet that's the culture. That's the culture they come from. That's how they learn to talk at home. And it's like, well, doesn't have to be the rule of thumb here, but it is. I had a buddy that, you know, a few years back that he actually wrote a letter to the administrative staff at his school, and he was actually censured because he filed grievances about the language being used, and he grieved it all the way up to as you can. He ended up taking it to a lawsuit. He sat out for a year while they fought the lawsuit. Wow. And TUSD spent, you know, thousands of dollars in attorney fees to basically combat the lawsuit rather than admit that, you know, we were wrong for censuring you and then we're wrong for allowing this kind of behavior to go on.
How does it talk about the escalation of it? When does it start getting, that's pretty ugly. Tell me about the next level of ugly.
Well, the next level of ugly is just the physical interactions, which they call horseplay. But it's kids smacking each other around, pushing each other, tripping each other, slamming doors on each other. But that's horseplay. The level of just, you know, people screaming at people about, you know, what they're going to kick their butts and this and that and everything, you know, the level of threats and things amongst them. And, you know, and as a teacher in TUSD, I had people that threatened me and things.
Students.
Right. Yes, students. You know, I've had where students have gone, they've threatened me, and I've, you know, basically said, you know, just walk it off, go outside, walk it off. And they go and they get two or three buddies and come back, and they're, you know, like, you know, and then they all want to, you know, get into it and stuff. And it's just like, come on.
So then tell me about support from the higher ups.
There is none. Or if there is, there's very little. I gave you guys one day a copy of, I think it was one of the parties I gave you guys. I was cleaning out my desk because I knew I was leaving, and I gave you and Ed a copy of the Code of Conduct.
Right.
And then my copies of the
Restorative
Circle handbooks. And I, you know, mentioned that when you look at the things that, you know, they have these things, are they're in certain tiers. That, you know, and so there's five different tiers that go from, like, it starts with like tardiness, and you know, and it goes then to like defiance, and then it goes to like you know, the language and the vandalism and things. But these are all things that students are allowed to do repeatedly before there's any consequence. In fact, at the school I was at, we were repeatedly told that don't even send us any paperwork until you've contacted the parents or whatever three times per violation. So a kid has seven classes, he could do something 21 times a day before anybody was allowed to. And at the end of that third time, then you can send a referral, which would usually amount to nothing. But be aware that referral is only good for a week, because when the new week starts, every kid has a clean slate. So he could do it 21 more times. Exactly.
Come on.
And things. So, I mean, this is why you
nothing gets done.
Nothing gets done, exactly. This is why a lot of teachers just, you know, they throw their hands up. I mean, we start off every year with, okay, we're going to do, you know, if we could just nip this a tardiness or attendance thing.
Right.
And you're making the emails and you're making the calls and you're pulling Johnny aside and saying, now, come on, it's not that hard to get here on time, kind of things. And so, and then you send the referrals for, well, tardiness and stuff, they're not going to do anything about that. So, and then it gets up to the point where there's just, you know, they call you in on this, you know, they call you into meetings and things, and they say, well, this meeting is to address the increase in, you know, students who are vaping marijuana. And just to give you a heads up that, you know, if before you report a student for vaping, check to make sure that, you know, it's okay with the parent.
So this is why I tell you over the years, right, that there are TUSD teachers that are now starting at $40,000-something mm-hmm. is the new number, right, who are going to quit and go work at a school with less money, not in the state retirement system, This is the reason. This is why they're making $7,000 less a year. This is why they went to a 401k instead of the state retirement. Right. Is they don't have to put up with this bullcrap.
Right.
This is where you're at. So, hey, sir, we got to do this again.
We can, you know, because there's also, you know, there was, it used to be there's a million stories in the Naked City.
Correct.
This is just one of them.
Yep.
There's a million stories out there, and there's a lot of good stories.
Absolutely.
I mean, in 30 years, I met a lot of great kids.
Yep.
Met a lot of great families, and I met a lot of great teachers.
And again, but then when you take what we just talked about, right? When those great families, great teachers, and great kids have to put up with all this horse crap that you're dealing with,
right?
It makes it even worse in a way.
Right.
So, all right, sir, good luck on your new gig.
Well, thank you very much. I'm so psyched for it. I'm. It's like I get to be born again, renewed. you know, I told some friends of mine the other day that what I'm going to be doing and stuff, and I said, you know, the coolest thing is I just get to kind of sit there and just take it all in, because I'm like a newbie again, you know? It's like I get to pretend like I don't know anything. And
that's a great thing to
just,
be
at. Just at, take over again.
At this stage in your over. Career to do it like this?
Yeah, I'm so psyched for it and things. And even my wife has said, boy, you've been in such a good mood since you retired.
His spirit is buoyant, as we like to say.
You bet.
Tom, great seeing you.
Good to see you guys.
We'll get you again.
Thank you very much.
Tomorrow, Biosphere 2. Please join us. Try to get there by 8:30. Tour starts at 9. $11 instead of $21. I'll be live and local inside the dome of the Biosphere tomorrow. So please join us. Wake up.
All right.